to In the Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Step-by-step instruction on how to turn heaven into hell. It would be a million sandals, and this critic would agree. If you really want to break the heart, just read Leaving Made Easy. The trouble with no sense of direction. Our paths were never meant to cross. The signs were so clear, but in a solitary second, we were lost.
Alberta's Dwayne Steele joins me on the show to talk about a brand new album of his called Dirt and Dreams. Of course, we all know and remember his big songs, Stuck on Your Love, Anita Got Married, The Trouble with Love, Two Names on an Overpass that he sang with Lisa Brokop, and that won a CCMA for Collaboration of the Year in 1997. So many great hits and brand new songs to share on the show tonight. My pleasure to welcome Dwayne Steele. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, Dave. How are you tonight?
I am doing terrific. It's so great to have you join me on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here on your show tonight, Dave. And I've heard about your show for a long time, so it's nice that you asked me to come on board.
Well, my pleasure, and I mean, I've been a fan of yours since way back, since Stuck on Your Love came out around 1996, and I mean, that album, P.O. Box 423, had Stuck on Your Love, Anita Got Married, The Trouble with Love, She's Tough, Two Names on an Overpass. I think that's five. Am I missing any of the big singles from that album?
Stuck, Anita, Trouble, Two Names on an Overpass. Yeah, you said She's Tough. Yeah, those were, I think there was five or so that kind of did pretty well right out of the box off that album. And, you know, there was some muscle behind that record, I guess, in terms of, you know, Mercury Records getting behind it and helping us get going and stuff there, too. So it was nice to have that little push, you know, with some people that believed in me and the music.
Yeah, right. And back around 1991, you were with the Rockin' Horse Band. The album Highways did very well. Now, between 91 and the release of the solo album, Dwayne, was that time basically spent? You landed a publishing contract. Were you songwriting between those years?
Yeah, that's right, Dave. I think it was 91. The album came out, Rockin' Horse. You know, we toured that album probably for a good year and a half or so, you know, across Western Canada primarily. And then we did work our way out to Eastern Canada and played in Ontario and places like that. Although we never did get out to the eastern parts of Canada, out to the Maritimes. But we saw a lot of Canada. And so when that band ended, I had an opportunity to go down to Nashville and write for Warner Chappell Publishing at the time. So that would have been right around 1993, I guess, when we finally disbanded Rockin' Horse Band and I moved down to Nashville. So I was writing songs, trying to get that record deal going and stuff. And then it took, you know, it took that amount of time, 3 or 4 years there, to sort of get things together and get a record deal and get back out of there as a solo artist.
When that first album came out in 96, your solo album, maybe describe some of the excitement around that, Dwayne, knowing that you had solid songs on it and it was about to come out, and pretty confident with the album before its release?
Well, I don't know. I think it was more, not so much confident, but sort of there was an anticipation and a little bit, you know, obviously excited. We were quite, you know, I was thrilled with being able to record an album like that with a major label and have that support. So, you know, I think the, you know, the expectation, I couldn't even tell you what the expectation was. I was sort of, you know, I had been involved, I'd been playing music already for, you know, it seemed like 15 years, you know, in various, so I was heavily entrenched in music, so I was like, I can't believe I'm getting this opportunity, because I was already 30, I was 32, 33 years old when that first album came out. So I was like, I just hope this hits so I can have a career
right.
for a long time, you know.
That's awesome. And one of the songs, of course, I mentioned earlier, Two Names on an Overpass, which is that beautiful duet which Lisa Brokop lends her vocals to. Was Lisa, you know, was she the first choice for that song? I mean, it's such a great pairing of your two voices together.
Yeah, actually she was, because we had recorded a great writer from Nashville named Tim Menzie wrote that song. I think there was another writer on it too, and his name just escapes me right off the top of my head, but I know Tim Menzie had a bit in that song, and my producer Steve Bogart and I heard him sing that live at a Warner Chappell at a songwriting function that we had in Nashville. So we heard it and we immediately asked for it to be put on hold for my album. And then we got, you know, Steve had got thinking, like, you know, we should have a female voice singing on this with you, and it'd be a great song about enduring love and all that. So Lisa was living in Nashville already, and so we got Lisa Brokop's right here, so why not ask her, one of the you know, the premier, and at that time one of the best singers on country radio that Canada has mm-hmm. and still is
yeah.
had ever produced. So it was we called her up, called over to her management, and she agreed the next day. I think she came over. She was very, you know, highly professional, obviously, and she just kind of listened to the song once and went, oh, yeah, I'll sing it. How about this part? And she went in and nailed it. So it was really that easy. It was, you know, when we got to recording the record, it was awesome.
Pretty amazing. What a great song, and it won that CCMA award, which is a big honor. Another song on that album, now this was another song that you covered, an outside song, but it is so haunting. It shows that you've obviously got a good ear for what other people have written. The Trouble with Love is such mm-hmm. a beautiful song. Haunting, I guess, is the word I use to describe it. I love that song. When you first heard the demo, Dwayne, were you struck with it immediately?
Yeah. I mean, again, that was another song that Steve had ran by me, and when I just thought it was such a different, sort of a different song than what at the time was sort of immediately coming out of Nashville per se, even, you know, because we had. Mm-hmm. We were picking songs and, you know, trying to get that U.S. deal, but obviously it was focused on a Canadian, because my deal was at the time with Mercury Canada. So I'm going, you know, not only is this a little different, but for what might work in the U.S., but I think, you know, even for what was going on Canadian radio with the content of the, just, you know, having a male singing that song, you know,
right.
It was written by it was actually written by Hal Ketchum and Matresa Berg, that song, and I think Hal Ketchum had considered it at one time for one of his projects, and it kind of got overlooked or something. As a matter of fact, I heard he had forgotten he even wrote that song. So but so yeah, we picked that, and Matresa sang on the record with me too, so she was very kind, you know. Our one of my other producers, Mike Clute, knew Matresa Berg quite well, so he asked her if she'd come over and sing, and again she just said, yeah, of course I'll come and sing on my own song, and you know, she was very happy to knew that, so we were pretty excited that she came and sang on that too.
Such a great song. And on the songwriting side of things, Leave It Made Easy, that was one that you wrote, Dwayne.
That's right. Yeah, I wrote that with my friend John Robin.
Great song.
A fellow from Nashville. We were writing many songs together. We wrote Tell the Girl, Leave It Made Easy, If I Could Just Get to You, some of my hits, you know. John's a great friend, and we had started writing when I first moved to Nashville. I met him. He was actually with a different publishing company. He was with 1010 Music. And met him one night at a Bluebird Cafe, in the round kind of a thing. And we just clicked it, you know, hit it off, and we got together, and I'm going, I need a really, you know, real country. I like that, you know, kind of almost an Alan Jackson thing going on. So
yeah,
we started messing around with this idea, and it didn't take very long to write that song. It was like, I don't know, I think by the time we started it, and probably an hour later we wrote the song, and it was done. And you know, a funny story, well, it's kind of heartbreaking from my end of things, but we had written it and then started pitching it around Nashville, and Alan Jackson had actually cut it. He picked it to put on one of his albums, and he tracked it a couple times. And so we were all doing the, hey, we got a great big Alan Jackson cut.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they never did make the album. You know, we got calls back from the production company, the producer going, I just can't quite hook it vocally the way he wants it, kind of a deal. So, but Sammy Kershaw eventually cut it too on one of his albums down the road, so we did get a cut out of it other than mine.
I've heard Sammy Kershaw's version, and people can head to YouTube as well, of course, iTunes, and to check out his version of it. But it is such a great song, and I remember hearing back at the time that it was pitched to Alan Jackson, so that's cool. I mean, like you said, it's kind of heartbreaking because it went that far, which is great, but didn't quite make it. But obviously that's a proof of a great song if it got that far to Alan Jackson.
Yeah, well, we thought so. You know, we thought at least, you know, we're kind of in the ballpark there when you get not only, you know, because many times, you know, writing songs as much as we were in Nashville at the time, you know, we were pounding out many songs a week in some occasions there. And, you know, when you'd get your song put on hold by a certain artist, and that was all great too, because it showed an interest in that you were sort of in the running, at least for listening and stuff. But when they actually were cutting the songs, then you knew you were sort of, at least they were spending some money on it, so there was belief there. So it kind of validated your process a bit.
Do you have a dream pitch? Did you have one then, Dwayne, or one still today of a song you've got in your catalog that you feel is perfect for so-and-so?
That's a good question, Dave. I'm not too... Oh, I would, you know, I still aspire to get that big cut as a writer, and I, you know, we all do. We write, you know, those of us in the music business and that write songs, you know, I think a songwriter, if you're doing it with the same amount of passion, I guess, that it takes to sort of get, you know, to write enough songs and write enough good songs to get them out there to the public, I think that's our dream, is to have that cut. So I'm not ever going to stop dreaming that way, and I hope that one day it happens. I get that big cut from an artist that goes, hey, you know, kind of lifts the profile up again, I guess, if you will, or makes your catalog that much more valuable.
Yeah.
You know, but the dream, I don't know, you know, I love hearing my songs by other artists. You know, we just had Gord Bamford had just released a song, Jake, and I wrote, called Groovin' With You, Jake Matthews, and I wrote, and, you know, I still love hearing songs that I've written on the radio by other artists, so, you know, the more I can get out there, the better.
That's awesome, and last night, Jake Matthews was on the show, and we played his latest release called Road in the Radio, which the two of you wrote together, and that is a great song.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's another one, and I just, you know, Jake was... I kind of talked him into cutting that one, but I thought it was a good radio song, you know, made for a radio, you know, with the title, and it's got a very infectious kind of groove and melody and stuff. So you know, I say that jokingly. He loved the song right from the time we wrote it too. But and I was just glad that he cut it and put it out. He, you know, it shows his belief in it too. So I'm rooting for him all the way.
We have lots more to talk about, stuff going on with Jake as well, the Troubadours and other stuff, and we'll touch more on songwriting as well throughout the show. But let's turn to the brand new album of yours called Dirt and Dreams. And as you've been telling me, this is a bit of a different kind of album because it's more singer-songwriter storytelling than commercial country radio. But I'll let you tell us a bit about Dirt and Dreams, Duane.
Yeah, well, you know, I had I started... You know, the process of recording the album a couple of years ago and stuff, and it sort of was the idea. I had built a little home studio, and I thought, well, you know, I need to do some recording and stuff. And then I got, you know, going through some older songs that hadn't ever been recorded, and I wanted to demo them and stuff like that. And then, you know, so I started putting them down, and I thought, you know, a lot of this stuff sounds cool, just really organically, you know, with just you know, guitar and very sparse instrumentation. So you know, I came up, you know, came up with the idea of doing an album. I wasn't sure it was going to be called Dirt and Dreams at the time, but I wanted to do then, you know, a singer songwriter album. I had been doing, you know, my I guess my profile and stuff on country radio had cooled a little bit, you know, and has cooled in terms of an artist. So I was sort of doing more shows, focusing on my songwriting and you know, more story songs and stuff like that. So I got, you know, got together some older songs that I'd had that I thought were still strong songs and would fit that kind of you know, acoustic singer-songwriter thing. We wrote some new songs and stuff for it, and then I took it to my friend Jeff Bradshaw, who has played steel guitar in my band for a number of years. He works with Tim Huss right now primarily, but he produces records and such too, so I got him to help me out with the project. We did some recording and started putting, you know, piecing together what became this Dirt and Dreams album. And I just snagged that line, the title Dirt and Dreams, out of a tune that Derek Rattan and I wrote on the album called Country Folk. Carving, I can't remember the line, carving out a way of life out of dirt and dreams. You know, that's kind of, so I went, oh, that, just that Dirt and Dreams, that's a cool, it kind of sums up a lot of the songs on the album. So that's where that came from.
Great line and a great song title. Let's turn to, or an album title rather, let's turn to the song Brave from the album, and I'll let you tell us a bit about this one, and then we'll share it with our listeners.
Sure, yeah. Brave is a tune that I co-wrote with Sean Hogan, my friend Sean Hogan. We've been, Sean's been on the road with him many years on different tour variations, and I've had, you know, been on his Canadian Country Christmas show for many years. So we've written some tunes. We go back to Waste a Good Whiskey off my one of my Gas and Time album a couple of years back and stuff. So we wrote this song. I had the title called Brave and a little bit of a musical hook one day. You know, we were sitting around just at my dinner table and we started farting around with this idea, and you know, the lyrics just started coming. Sean started spewing this lyric about, you know, that first verse kind of thing, and we started weaving away a song. It was one of those songs that just kind of fell out, and we kind of thought, well, it sounds like we're kind of writing a little bit of an ode or a nod to our wives here, and it just kind of happened. So that's the best sort of analogy I can make for that song, because basically that's what it is. It's a little bit of an ode to your significant other, if you will, and that's what the term brave is all about. You know.
Now, when you play a song like this for your wife, Duane, and in Sean's case for his wife, such a personal song and written, as you said, about them and for them, what kind of reaction, you know, when you're first maybe just strumming it on the guitar and singing? It's got to be a pretty strong reaction to the song.
Yeah, well, you know, my wife, to be honest with you, is kind of immune to everything. Because we sit around here. My place is about, you know, I do music here all day long, you know, not like I sit right. around playing all the time, but we write songs, and she's used to friends being in the house, and we're always strumming. If we're writing, we're strumming and playing songs, and what do you think of this, and what do you think of that? So it's like, oh, I like that, I like that, as she's rolling her eyes kind of a deal. But, no, I think she got that, too, when I first played it for Shauna, after we'd finished it, actually, Shauna and I sat here, and we played, and she goes, oh, I love that, that's awesome, what a nice sentiment, and so yeah, it was, you know, but like I say, she hears a lot of music, so it's really hard to get one by her.
Right. That's great.
Yeah.
Let's share the song now. It's from Duane Steele's Dirt and Dreams album, and that is available now at iTunes. The song is called Brave, here on In the Country.
This world is getting fragile. I shake my head in doubt each passing day. So uncertain is the outcome. No matter how the job gets done, somebody pays. Many versions of the truth tossed around like stories do, till I find my mind circling back. All I know is true. There's a full moon over our house on a starlit walk. There's a feeling of completeness when I hear our children talk. My heart can skip a beat still when you look at me. And even though there's trouble out there across some deep and distant sea, by the grace of God I'm strengthened by the love we've made. Baby, you make me brave. There's a simple kind of comfort knowing I can find it here at home. When it's just you and me at night, it's easy to let the day behind us go. In the quiet of those moments, you're lying next to me, is where I find all the courage that I'll ever need. There's a full moon over our house on a starlit walk. There's a feeling of completeness when I hear our children talk. My heart can skip a beat still when you look at me. Even though there's trouble out there across some deep and distant sea, by the grace of God I'm strengthened by the love we've made. Baby, you make me brave. Baby, you make me brave. There's a full moon over our house on a starlit walk. There's a feeling of completeness when I hear our children talk. My heart can skip a beat still when you look at me. And even though there's trouble out there across some deep and distant sea, by the grace of God I'm strengthened by the love we've made. Baby, you make me brave. Baby, you make me brave.
A beautiful new song from my guest, Duane Steele. That song is called Brave. And Duane, I think people today, you know, hearing commercial songs so much on the radio, it's great to hear a song like that that, you know, is a story and is heartfelt and just a little sincere, I guess, or really sincere.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, and you know, we did release it to country radio, and I've been very lucky, especially out west here, where you know, where I'm from and stuff. I've had some country stations pick it up and stuff, and that's exactly what some of those folks have said. It's kind of a refreshing approach again, I guess, if you will, to mm-hmm. from a song perspective. So I'm hoping that's it strikes a chord with many people that way.
And we've got more songs from the album Dirt and Dreams on the way on the show. You did a great cover of the Gordon Lightfoot classic, If You Could Read My Mind. There's a live performance on YouTube of you doing it, but it's also one that you recorded. And a great job on that song. Did that song have a special meaning to you, or you just wanted to cover a Canadian classic?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. No, it came from during the time I was living and working down in Nashville too. And I come from a very small town up in northern Alberta called Hinds Creek. And when I moved down in Nashville, we hooked up to a U-Haul trailer and pulled everything down there, and it was about 2,500 miles we clocked off from Hinds Creek tonight. So it wasn't easy to get home, so I found myself down there. As inspiring and as beautiful a place as Tennessee is and Nashville is, it's not home though for me, right? So Canada's always been my home. So I sort of reacquainted myself through a friend's advice with the music of Gordon Lightfoot, who I'd always admired as an artist. But, I think the words were like, if you just want to go back to Canada, just put on a Gordon Lightfoot record because that voice is Canadian. And I'm like, yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, so I fell in love with the song, from listening to it again, and I just thought, this would be such a nice addition to, at the time it was my second album, we were getting to do the second album, so I started learning, learned it and started playing it live just to kind of get a feel, and automatically, people loved it, obviously, because of the song and playing it in Canada. You just can't go wrong with a Lightfoot song. So that's kind of where that idea came from and the inspiration for it. So, I went ahead and I was I'm not sure dumb enough or smart enough to cut it, but radio got behind it. So that helped a lot. Yeah.
It's amazing how music does take us to those places, as you said, in this case, Gordon Lightfoot's voice on any of his songs. You think of Canada, you think of home. Wherever the songs, whoever the artist is, whether it's Elvis or Johnny Cash, it takes us back to a certain time when we hear these songs again, and a place.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Music is so, so much about where you were and, as you were growing up and what those songs or whatever that may be that were listening to at the time. You never lose that your whole life as soon as you hear that song. It just puts you in that space back in your life. So it's kind of a good thing about music that way.
Exactly, it is. Now, tell us about the Troubadours. We spoke to Jake Matthews on the show last night, and you, along with Jake and Wyatt Easterling, perform as the Troubadours, and you do it's singer-songwriter acoustic stuff. You cover songs, your own songs, songs that other people have recorded. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, it started, the idea came about this 4 or 5 years ago. This is probably our fifth year that we've done it, and it sort of came from a little get-together at my house. Wyatt had played a house concert, actually, at my place. He was going through, and he was working with a friend of mine named Marlene Dowse, and then after that, we'd sort of been chatting about touring and all this stuff, and I had always thought that doing a tour, because I've done songwriter things not only at the CCMAs here in Canada, but in living down the States, doing the songwriter in the rounds at like the Bluebird and Douglas Corner Cafe and stuff. I just thought it was such a cool format to listen to music and to be a part of, and the crowd, and obviously people love to sit and listen to it. So, it was always a thought of mine in the back of my mind. It would be kind of cool to tour with a group of people and do this kind of a thing where, we just play our songs. It's very informal, very casual. We joke around, we tell stories, and that's kind of where that came from. So when we got ready to, I approached Marlene about maybe putting together a group of people to do that initially. And Jake's been in it right from the get-go. He was one that fellow we asked, Wyatt Easterling. And initially we had Lisa Brokop and her husband Paul Jefferson too on the first couple of years. And then Lisa got busy with a record deal and doing some stuff. So it kind of came down to Wyatt and Jake and I. But that was the idea behind it. And it was just... I still love doing it. Like, you know, we don't get to do it as much as we would like to, but I think even just doing it once a year, you know, in different places and stuff, because the crowds that do actually see it, they love it. So that's kind of where the idea for Troubadours came, and that's why we're kind of doing it, is based on that, the songwriting. And
yeah,
the,
great idea. Mm-hmm. Great idea. I know that myself and a lot of people I know love going to those kind of venues where we can hear acoustic shows, songwriters in the round, taking turns doing songs. They're all, you know, usually songs they've written and others may have recorded or they've recorded. But
yeah,
you get to hear the story behind the song, too, and the songwriter's interpretation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and many times, like you say, it's the songwriter's interpretation. I mean, with myself, I do a lot of my own songs that I've recorded and stuff, but I also do some songs, you know, like that have been recorded by other artists, just to give people a different, you know, that they have made have heard in country radio in Canada and stuff, and they go, oh, that
right.
sounds a little different from your angle, but you can definitely tell, you know, it's the same song and stuff like that.
Yep.
So that's the neat thing, and that's what I've always enjoyed about going to those, you know, in the rounds and stuff like that. When I lived in Nashville back in the 90s, we used to go to the Bluebird Cafe and see Don Schlitz. It was called Don for a Dollar on Tuesday nights. So we could go down, you know, I couldn't believe it. You could go down there and listen to this guy sing for like 2.5 hours. Don Schlitz, for listeners out there, was like, he wrote The Gambler, and you know,
yep,
that was probably one of his biggest songs, but he, you know, he could sing hit songs for 2 hours, and it was just wonderful to hear his interpretation and his version of the song. So yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, I went looking up his name because I knew, of course, he wrote The Gambler and Forever and Ever Amen.
Yeah,
I wrote that one. And then somebody had said, oh, did he do much other than that? And I went and looked up and like, wow, a long list of songs I knew, long list of hits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty amazing.
So it's like you'd have to go through that list and you start naming them and you go, oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that. I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing
yeah.
how many songs one person can be responsible for. And I want to talk to you more in depth about songwriting after we play another song. Now, I'm going to turn to the one you mentioned that you wrote with the great Derek Grattan, who's got a huge career himself, songs for other people like Blake Shelton, but of course a huge artist career. Tell me about Country Folk.
Well, Country Folk was a song that I had sort of laying around. I was just, you know, when I had already started, you know, going ahead with the idea of doing this album, and it's a song that I had started on my own a while back. You know, Derek had came through town and we got together to do some writing. We had written a song already, and you know, and I said, well, I've got this other thing kind of laying around, and I'm trying to, you know, get some songs together for an acoustic album, and it's not probably ever going to see a huge light of day, but I want to do this album and I want it to, you know, I want to put it out there and do the best I can with it and stuff. And I said, would you be interested in have, you know, I'll run it by. And so I did, and he loved it. And so we just sat around here, just kind of very casually finished it up. You know, it was like, I think we wrote the back half of a chorus and another verse and stuff, and went, oh, that's all it needs to say. So it kind of came from, you know, the inspiration on my end came from a lot of my family were both on my father's side and my mother's side were immigrants to Canada, you know, both Scandinavian, Swedes and Scots, English people. So, you know, they moved up into northern Alberta to do homesteading back in the early 20s, like 1924 to 1929, moved up into the North Peace Country. And I just thought that was kind of a, you know, as a kid you hear all these stories and then they kind of stay with you. And I just thought that was a cool idea. You know, the way they populated our land by opening up farmland, or at the time it was bushland, but they thought, you know, if we can get these people to come in there and clear all this land and make it arable farmland, you know. So that's kind of was the, you know, the reasoning behind even starting that song, Country Folk, was sort of a nod to homesteaders and pioneer people, kind of a deal. So that's where it comes from.
Pretty amazing to have so much truth and history in a song, and that great inspiration, the song you co-wrote with Derek Grattan. It's from Duane Steele's album Dirt and Dreams, available at iTunes. This is Country Folk on In the Country.
Mm-hmm.
up in the early 30s. Never knew the rumble of a city. A little sod roof shack was your typical family home. They worked the ground by hand and horses. Life was hard, but there weren't a lot of choices. You had a road to home if you were country folk. And Mama and Daddy were country folk. They built this land with sweat and tears and raised their family, carving out a way of life from the dirt and dreams. Unbendable pride and a will to carry on runs right to the bone of country folk. There's a ranch out in Alberta, running buffalo and bald-faced herper. Open range and barbed wire is all they've ever known. It's been tough the last few seasons. The damn drought and mad cow diseases try to break the will of the country folk. But you can't break the will of country folk. They built this land with sweat and tears and raised their family, carving out a way of life from the dirt and dreams. Unbendable pride and a will to carry on runs right to the bone, country folk. God bless the home, country folk.
Alberta country artist Dwayne Steele with some brand new music here on In the Country. That is called Country Folk, telling a great story, a lot of history in that song. And again, another one that I know that fans of country music are going to love, Dwayne, because it tells a story and we can kind of get inside that story and follow along with it.
Well, that's cool. You know, and that's kind of what... That's kind of what I, you know, as a songwriter, that's all you can hope for, is that someone's going to sort of be able to relate and to draw from and maybe even be inspired by, you know, from your music. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I hope that's the case, Canada wide.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to get into songwriting. I just want to throw out here, I'm at Don Schlitt's website because I threw out a couple of songs, but, I mean, he wrote The Gambler, Forever and Ever Amen. On the other hand, I Take My Chances, Mary Chapin Carpenter, Rocking with the Rhythm of the Rain, 40-Hour Week for 11 from Alabama, Deeper Than the Holler, back to Randy Travis, Houston Solution, Ronnie Millsap, Learning to Live Again, Garth Brooks, there's a George Strait song in there, and more, just so we give Don Schlitz his fair due, because, people think of The Gambler,
amazing?
But it's just incredible, the list, and it goes on and on.
Well, Forever and Ever, Amen. I mean, I played all those songs for years, you know.
Oh, yeah. Who are, Dwayne, back in the day when you were starting out and when you started to perform and covers in the beginning, who were some of your influences, some of the artists that, you know, got you excited about pursuing music?
Well, there was a lot, you know, I grew up, playing music. You know, I started playing music in my teens, really. Like, I was 9 years old when I did my first talent contest, but I can't really say I started doing music then, because it wasn't until I was, like, 14 years old, 14 or 15, somewhere in there, 14, I think, when we started our first little band and we started playing school dances and stuff. So it was sort of early 70s, early into the mid-70s. So, but I had grown up, you know, you know, through the 60s and stuff, listening to my folks, not only my folks records, but my aunts and uncles and stuff too. And it was the, you know, it sounds like a cliche, but it was the George Jones and Charlie Pride and Merle Haggard,
right,
and Jim Reeves and those records that the, you know, that was rural Northern Alberta. That's what they had for records up there. And we had, you know, one AM station that played multiple, you know, it was sort of across multiple genres of music. They had country and pop and rock and different, depending on what time of day it was. So I was influenced by a lot of different music as I got a little older and into music and buying records and stuff. I mean, I was influenced by not only the pop rock artists, but, you know, mostly singer-songwriters and stuff like, you know, Rodney Crowell. Rodney Crowell was a huge influence. Bands like the Eagles, loved the Eagles, you know, along with, you know, the obvious doses of playing and learning. You know, we probably played, I don't know, 15 Merle Haggard songs in our band, you know, and Charlie Pride and songs like that. So there was a lot of that. That's kind of the basis of where, you know, what inspired me to sort of, I don't even know if it inspired me, but it was just, it sort of kept me going. And I didn't, you know, I realized earlier on that I wanted to play music. I didn't know I wanted to write songs though until I was probably, you know, later in my teens, you know, like 17, 18 years old.
Let's talk about that songwriting. At that stage, you know, 17, 18, people starting out writing songs, they get better. We get better as we go along. What were some of your first songs like, if you recall at that time, Dwayne?
They were terrible. I know the very first song I ever wrote was called "I Love You." I know that sounds so bad, but that's what it was called, and I can still sort of hum it. Goes, "Sitting here just thinking about you." That was kind of just a real straight, sort of non-exciting melody, but that was my very first song that I wrote, and I kind of took off from there. But I did finish it, so it was one, and we recorded some of those early songs. It was a little band I had with my cousins called Northern Sunrise. Yes, we were directionally challenged, but but we wrote songs. You know, we wrote some songs and we recorded them out in Edmonton at a guy named Vic Lillo's studio. He had a music store, a very famous music store in Edmonton in the 70s and stuff, and he had a studio. So we recorded some tracks there, and I actually still to this day have a copy of that. We just refound, kind of dug up the archives and found some of that music of us playing music when we were teenagers and recording it. So it's kind of fun to hear that stuff. But the songs were pretty weak, I got to tell you. But it was,
so
you got to start somewhere, right?
Well, this is it. Yeah, you start somewhere and you improve from there.
Yeah.
So what then, Dwayne, aside from time, but experience-wise, what lessons did you learn along the way? Maybe it was with co-writers. But what were some of the things you learned over the years that made you a better songwriter?
Well, I think it was, I don't even know. That's such a hard thing to sort of put into tangibility or words or whatever. It's
right,
just,
right.
I think a lot of it is just experience and doing it. I mean, even when I got my publishing deal based on some songs that I had written prior with a band I was in called Rockin' Horse and stuff, and my deal with a publisher in Nashville sort of came from a few of those songs, not a lot of them, because I know a lot of them weren't good enough, but there was a few apparently that were good enough that they thought, hey, there's some potential in this guy. So a lot of what I learned in terms of country songwriting anyway, and that's all I've ever really written was sort of country songs, came from writing with some writers in Nashville that were, it's that same old story of, like, you know, if you want to get better, write with somebody that's better than you, or if you want to do something, you know, work with somebody that's better than you, that kind of pull, you know, lift you to a different level or something like that. So I mean, I think it's as simple as that, as working with somebody that kind of drug me along and didn't let me get away with the obvious cliche in a line when we could dig a little deeper and maybe find something else, that a different way of saying it, right? So and to be open-minded, because you know, I had written many songs by myself, and so you know, if you get into co-writing, I think just being really open-minded and open to suggestion and, you know, that kind of a thing too. I think that really helps in terms of writing and trying to come up with the best song in a co-writing situation anyway.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, with co-writing, you're going to get a song that you wouldn't have got on your own. Now, it's the strength of the two writers, different perspectives,
yeah.
ideas, and the best of each
yeah.
other they can bring to the song and their skills makes for great. I mean, you've done a lot of co-writing. I know you mentioned on this album alone, Derek Catan,
yeah.
Sean Hogan. You've written with Jake Matthews. Any other writers' names you want to throw out there maybe over the years that we'd know that you've co-written with?
Well, Gord. I mean, Gord Bamford's an obvious, you know, we've written several songs together over the years. We live close beside each other, you know, and we've known each other for probably 15 years back when Gord was just starting out and stuff. And he's recorded many of my songs over the years and we've written together. So, I mean, but, you know, guys like Tim Taylor, a great Canadian writer that's living in Nashville, Byron Hill, a great writer from Nashville who's had many hits over the years, you know, so all these people that, and I think I try and pick something up from everybody. I think everybody that's sort of in this endeavor, in this artistic endeavor that's, you know, trying real hard at trying to write and stuff, I think there's definite merit in everybody's work, and I try and be open-minded enough to maybe try and, you know, even if it's just subliminal or not something that you realize right away, I think I learned something, or I hope that I do, from everybody that I kind of work with to a degree.
Did you have fun over the years, Dwayne, with all the videos you did that got onto CMT? Several of them went to number one. Was that enjoyable, or are videos hard work?
Well, they are. I mean, I guess they're not physically hard work, but I mean, we used to call it, hurry up and wait.
Right.
The hardest working people on a video shoot are the crew, because they're packing up and they're tearing down and they're setting up different shot angles and moving track. In many cases, they're moving track around and setting up. You know, so they're working hard. The hardest job that we have as an artist is kind of waiting for our next call to get on set. But if they're long days, you know, you can put in two or three long days. You know, a video shoot could last for a few days. I mean, depending on the budgets and where they're at and stuff like that. But it was always fun. We always had a really good time, and I was very fortunate to work with some really cool video directors over the years and stuff. And, you know, I think, because you know, they were experienced enough that they always tried to kind of make the artist have a good time while they're out there too, right? So I don't feel sorry for myself one bit having to do that. No, it was always a good time. Yeah.
Let's turn to our final song we're going to share from the brand new album called Dirt and Dreams. Again, it's available at iTunes, and you can call your local country station and request the single that's from the album called Brave, which we played earlier in the show. But now we're going to share a song called Brothers and Sisters, and Dwayne, I'll let you tell us about the story behind it before we play it.
Sure. Well, Brothers and Sisters is one of those songs, like I said, I had some songs from years ago that were that had been written, and Brothers and Sisters is a song that I had sort of kind of came up with this idea of sort of writing an ode, I guess, or a little bit of a nod to my family. I come from a family of 10 kids, 6 older sisters and 3 younger brothers. So I had this idea, and I had started writing it with my friend Louis Sedmak, who's a producer friend I've worked with. He did the Rockin' Horse album and stuff for us way back when. But we started writing the song and never really got it finished. And I think it was one of my first trips to the Canadian Country Music Week. And I can't remember the year now, but it was probably, I am thinking it was probably 16, 17 years ago.
Right.
Maybe a little more than that, but so I met Ralph Murphy there, and I asked him and Ralph is a great Canadian, he's not only a songwriter, but he was working with ASCAP for many years. He was head of international
right. song coach, yep.
artist, song coach and stuff like that of ASCAP. Mm. So he offered to write with me. So I brought him this idea for brothers and sisters, and we met one morning, you know, at the CCMAs. He took time out of his schedule and stuff to write with me, so I'll always appreciate that and respect Ralph for that. But that's where that song came from, and Ralph worked on it with me. It was one of the first songs that I'd kind of written, you know, a little bit of co-writing, but not much. And then, you know, from especially a guy that had came from Nashville and had, you know, been down that Nashville road and was living and working there too. So it was kind of cool. So that's where that came from, that song.
I've seen Ralph not too long ago, actually, at a Country Music Association of Ontario conference, and he was, you know, picking people out of the audience to play a bit of their songs, and then he was critiquing it on the spot and giving constructive criticism and helping them improve it. You know, it was quite interesting to hear him, you know, because, of course, we all learned listening to how he told them to change the song, rewrite it, how to write better songs. So really cool song coach.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Ralph's been doing it a long time, and he's got some definite ideas about, you know, and he's been involved in many different, writing scenarios, if you will, too. So he's sort of came at it from a lot of different angles. So I'm sure he's got, I've actually witnessed his songwriting seminar one time, and I was just blown away at how good he is at it.
I know.
Yeah.
So interesting at how quickly he can pass on the advice and pick things out that can be improved.
Yeah, absolutely.
So awesome. Let's hear that song now. My guest, Duane Steele, and the song is Brothers and Sisters on In the Country.
Mom would always wake up 7 every morning. Then we'd run downstairs, stand by that old wood stove in the front porch. Then we'd all sit down for breakfast of oatmeal and brown sugar. We were one big happy family then. I'll never forget those days. Brothers and sisters share a special place and time. Brothers and sisters, right on down the line. Looking back on all the pleasure and the pain we all went through, I can't imagine this old world without you. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we fight like crazy, boys against the girls. As the years went by, it turned around to us against the world. Now there's many miles between us, but there ain't a day goes by when I don't recall, through it all, you were really my best friend. Brothers and sisters share a special place and time. Brothers and sisters, right on down the line. Looking back on all the pleasure and the pain we all went through, I can't imagine this old world without you. Brothers and sisters. So I thought I'd write this song, put it down in stone, that as long as there's a breath in me, you'll never be alone. And if you ever need a place to turn when life has turned you down, call on me anytime. Brothers and sisters share a special place and time. Brothers and sisters, right on down the line. Looking back on all the pleasure and the pain we all went through, I can't imagine this old world without you. Brothers and sisters.
What a beautiful song from my guest, Duane Steele. That is called Brothers and Sisters. You'll find that on his brand new album called Dirt and Dreams, which is available at iTunes. And we've heard a couple of other songs during the show that are on that album as well. Duane, it's been such a pleasure chatting with you, catching up with you, and, of course, playing the new music. It's been a real honor.
Well, thank you very much, Dave. That's awesome. I'm so glad that you you got in touch and we were able to do this and share a few stories, for sure. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I've been a fan for a long time, as I said, going way back to when I first heard you on the radio, and have enjoyed your music all these years. So just to hear some of the songs again, and I went back before we came on and put together the medley and was listening to some of the past songs and just enjoyed them so much. So once again, thanks for being here, Duane. Enjoyed it.
Well, thank you very much. My pleasure. My pleasure.
My guest has been Alberta country artist Duane Steele. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.